Mary Poppins Returns.
Is this just because of your adaptation that you want to make of, Mary Poppins?
Well, partially because of the adaptation I want to do of Mary Poppins called The Adventures of Marty Poopins, who's a plumber. But...
All right, welcome to Rated NA, the podcast for the website nerdappropriate.com. This is episode number 295. And I'm your host, Matt.
And I'm Scott.
And I'm Ash.
And we're going to do this in one take.
Let's
cool.
do it.
That's good. We're all here. We've completed the Triforce of podcasting.
Yeah.
It's pretty impressive. I was telling my wife, I think it's been like since September or something since we've all been able to do one together. So
I think we did one together in November.
We may have. Yeah, we may have done one.
Or no, maybe not, because Scott, I don't know now. Now I have to question. No, we did one. We've done one. Yeah.
We've had reasons. So it's, you know, it's not like, and we've gone actually longer with gaps than this.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't feel bad. There was a Christmas break and a lot of shows took Christmas break off. So,
you know. Even us, for all the money we make off of this, we deserve a Christmas break on occasion.
There you go.
Agreed.
Rolling in the doubloons.
Yeah. Cool. So I think we're going to do our normal thing. What are we going to talk about in the reviews? We're going to talk about PUBG, Destiny 2, Dark Matter, and Bright, which is the show on Netflix, or the movie on Netflix, yeah?
Yeah.
Yes.
Cool. That's exciting. And then we'll do some news. And in our Nerquato, we ask you, what are you looking forward to in 2018?
Yeah. Got some good responses from our wonderful community who we missed terribly. Yeah. So thanks for sending us responses.
Did anybody reply with bomb cyclone?
No.
No.
Hey, okay. No joke, fucker.
Yeah. I'm serious.
It's negative 10 out right now.
I was going to say, I was reading the news. There was an outlet that I guess they said in Connecticut, the wind chill could bring the temperature to minus 100. And then they wrote, that is not a typo. We sent reporters there and their eyelashes froze.
Yeah. Why do they send reporters? I don't understand this need the hurricanes and the blizzards and stuff where they're like, we're going to cut to Bob outside. Yeah. And Bob's just like dying in the weather. You're like, have him stand inside in front of a window.
I just want to show you how intense this wind is right now, everybody. I can barely stand. And
I'm in this tornado flying through the sky. I believe I'm going to die.
Well, stay safe out there, Chuck.
Yeah.
So ridiculous. But it is very, very insanely cold here now.
It's brutal.
I'm glad you're surviving.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, man, it's cold in Florida, too.
I will throat punch you.
I'll tell you what, it is warmer in Seattle than it is in Florida right now.
Yeah.
If you want to chew on that for a minute.
Yeah, we talked about this probably about 50 times in our insanely long podcast that we've been doing for 7 years. But when it gets like remotely cold in Florida, like women and men dress up like they're going to the Arctic.
Yeah.
It's really fantastic. I think it was like 65 the other day and I saw a woman in like full UGG boots and a parka. And I'm like, oh, it's in the 60s. It's really, you're okay.
You want to know how cold it is here? We were all in the lunchroom at my work the other day and the news was on and they were like, on Monday, I think it is, Monday or Tuesday, it's going to be 29 and everybody celebrated.
Wow.
We were like, 29? Oh, thank God. Yeah, that'll be good. We're all like dying for high 20s at this point because it's insane outside.
Anything.
It hurts when you go out.
That is brutal.
Yeah. Luckily, it's been I've been here long enough that like I've wintered up, you know, like I have snow boots, I have winter shoes, I have like good gloves, I have a good scarf, a winter jacket, hats. Like I've got everything at this point, so I don't have to like freak out. But
and your blood thickens, does it not? When you move to a colder area? I don't know. Somebody told me that.
Okay. Sure. Yeah. That's why I'm so sluggish. I just don't move. I turn into like a hibernating bear when it gets this cold and I do not leave my house.
It's probably the smart thing to do.
Yep.
News.
Wow, it was live.
That was live. So we just kind of want to talk about the stuff that we are excited about and the stuff that the world is excited about in 2018, meaning pop culture stuff. So we're going to talk about games and movies, maybe some TV too. But right off the bat, what are you guys like right now? What are you itching for when you think about 2018? What is sort of like on the top of your list for the thing? If you had to choose one, what would you choose? I know that's hard on the spot.
We kind of talked about this a little bit on Twitter, but I'm really excited for A Way Out, which is an indie title that's going to be published by EA, and it's made by the development team that did Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons, and it's a game that's going to be played completely co-op. You can play couch co-op or online split screen, and it's just going to be one of those, I don't know, it looks like a Prison Break kind of game. It reminds me a little bit of if Kane and Lynch were an adventure game instead of a shooter, and you work together to solve puzzles, and one player might be in a cutscene while somebody else is actually doing something puzzle related, in order to get that done before the other person's time runs out. And I just think that as far as new ideas in games go, I'm excited for this. And I think it's kind of ballsy to also tell everyone that the game has to be played in co-op. But sort of to mitigate that, what they're doing is that any purchase of the game comes with a kind of like a friend code that you can use to allow somebody else to play the game with you only. So it's not like you don't get two copies, but you get to tell somebody else that they can join your game without having to buy a second copy of the game. So I'm excited for A Way Out.
I think that's great. Yeah, no, it's definitely on my list as well. The developer's antics are sort of legendary at this point too, because he kind of like on various award shows, he popped up and was like, you know, he very animated, very outspoken about the state of games. And he essentially said, there's nothing like this. So I think the bold words, and I'm excited to check it out. And I haven't played a co-op game in like a while, so I'm excited to just play some co-op stuff.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
I'm with you.
I agree, because I've been thinking about what I've been yearning for, I suppose. And we'll talk about PUBG later, but a game like that made me miss what we were able to do in The Division, where we played most of that game together, at least in the story campaign missions go. And that was a blast. And then, of course, that reminds me of when we all played Fuse together, which it wasn't like a super stellar game, but the experience of playing that game together made it much better than if you were to play that game by yourself. So
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I'm definitely excited for any kind of co-op gaming opportunities coming up in 2018.
Cool.
Yeah.
What about you, Matt?
I mean, the obvious one for me is Red Dead 2.
Mm. Oh man.
Which is weird to say, because I'm still like now essentially angrily enthralled in Shadows of War and like can't get out of the game. But, yeah, there's just something about that Western setting and just getting back into that type of storytelling is, I know I'm going to lose weeks to that game essentially.
Oh, for sure. I mean, you know, it's going to be absolutely stunning. And
yeah.
And Rockstar has been working so hard on their multiplayer stuff. I have a feeling that Red Dead's multiplayer is going to be, really off the charts.
There's something about that. Applying their multiplayer skills to a setting like Red Dead, where it's not quite so crazy, I guess. Like I know it'll still be crazy, but it can't be the level of like semi-automatic machine guns and flying helicopters.
You won't see like jumbo jets smashing into buildings with like people flying out of them and stuff. Yeah,
but you could have such a cool experience, I think, in that Western setting. So I'm excited about that. This is a slightly angry one that I'm sort of excited about, just because I bought this stupid game like 2 years ago, and I give you guys updates every once in a while when I get emails. Mm. But BattleTech is supposed to actually finally come out this year.
Nice.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
So hopefully it does, and then I can play it, because I kickstarted it forever ago, and I'm excited to actually play BattleTech. I used to love Scott and I played the old school BattleTech computer game, right? Your house or Andrew's house, one of the two.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I remember that game.
And I was such a big fan, and I never got into the wargaming, like, tabletop stuff, but I just love mechs and all that. And I think there's a new mech warrior, too. I'd have to look at our list that we have compiled here, but I believe there's one of those as well. So it'd be cool. I'm excited about getting into that stuff. But the big one's probably Red Dead. I think that's my obvious choice.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I actually... I kind of steered clear of some of the big open world stuff because I'm discovering now at like this stage of gaming that I'm doing, I'm having a hard time completing open world games. I used to just, you know, like I 100% did Skyrim, but now, you know, being a dad and stuff, it's a lot harder to devote the time that I want to big open world stuff, just because the act of like walking from point A to point B is just a shit ton of time that I don't have. So I'm finding that my gaming experiences have all been kind of like, I have to shrink down my experiences to like little, like maybe hour chunks here and there. So I didn't pick any of those. I am excited. Obviously the biggest thing this year that I had to say, like narrow it down to like a single thing, I'd probably say Infinity War, which scares me because it scares me because I have like headcanon of how cool it could be. And I don't know if it'll ever live up to like what's already in my brain. But, after watching, you know, obviously for people that listen, being a Marvel fan my whole life and then seeing these movies come out and most of them being great. And then all of a sudden them culminating in this big thing. I'm like, holy cow, like it's actually happening. It's happening pretty soon. Really excited about it. I just hope that it's okay. So that's like number one on my list. In terms of games, they just announced they're making another Valkyria Chronicles, but it's kind of back to the original roots of what Valkyria 1 was like. So Valkyria 4 is back to a turn-based sort of strategy formula of an alternate history, World War II, which I just absolutely loved in the first game. And so if you haven't looked at Valkyria 4, Valkyria 4 just looks stunning. So that's coming out this year as well. No date on that yet, but it's looking really, really good. And I'm really hyped for that. And it's weird to have a Japanese game at the top of my gaming list. But I think, you know, other than the open world ones like Sea of Thieves and like Red Dead that I'm, you know, dying to play, you know, other games that take massive amounts of time, like strategy games, Valkyria 4. But that, Valkyria 4, Infinity War, really good stuff.
Awesome.
Sweet. Yeah. Cool, man.
You guys want to look through some of the others on the list and just kind of blab about them for a few minutes? So stuff that we didn't really talk about. So Anthem, BioWare's new game is coming out.
Is that
out
really
this
coming
year.
Out this year?
That's what they say. Okay. My money's on no.
No. Yeah.
Just because we haven't seen anything except for that highly, you know, choreographed thing that they put out, I think at what, E3 maybe?
Yeah.
Or was it Game Awards? So we haven't seen much about Anthem. We know that the Mass Effect 3, the majority of the team members from Mass Effect 3 that are still around are working on Anthem. So you sort of have, you know, I'm not going to tier developers, but a lot of very talented developers are working on Anthem. So very excited about that. You know, BioWare story stuff is great. And I hate to, you know, be a.
I think we're in the same. I think I know what you're going to say, and we're in the same boat. So go ahead.
I hope it's great for BioWare. Oh, okay. That's all I'm going to say.
I guess I was going to add to that I am excited for the game. And because it's BioWare, they have earned my trust. And I will, you know, pre-order or do whatever is necessary to play this game on day one. The thing I'm afraid of is that it is going to be Destiny-like in the sense where if I don't feel like I'm able to play every day and invest the time, I'm going to quickly fall behind whatever else is happening in this game. You know, if it's online and competitive and things of that nature.
I'm absolutely with you there. Like my fear is that it's going to be Destiny'd up and which is logical for BioWare to make a giant game like that because it makes money seemingly. But, it's like one of those like, man, you know, they've got, you just said everything I was going to say. I won't repeat every word you just said, but yes, they've earned my trust. I will likely buy it day one, but I am worried that it will be a bigger kind of daily play multiplayer, you know, dungeon crawling kind of game that I can't.
You know, it will be too. Yeah. You know, it's going to be designed to sort of have a gameplay loop that draws players in for long periods of time and promotes them likely to buy some sort of microtransaction of some sort. That's just the formula that exists. They're going to be a lot more careful with how that's constructed now. Like, I guarantee I would put money down and say that no matter what, at this point, especially after the debacle with Star Wars, that the microtransactions are going to be purely cosmetic. There's not going to be any gameplay stuff in there.
That sounds safe.
I also think that it's definitely going to be designed to be that way. Like, 'cause you know, all these big open worldy games, all these big open worldy games are sort of like that now, because they kind of have to be, you know.
Yep. Let's see. So I was looking through the list while you guys were talking about Anthem. I also found Detroit Become Human, which is...
Yep, I was just going to bring that up for you.
Yeah. And as excited as I am about this game, I would also need to invest dollars in getting a PlayStation 4.
PlayStation 4.
So that's kind of a bummer.
But there's two games on this list for PlayStation 4 exclusives. That's interesting to me. But it's Detroit Become Human, and the other one is Marvel's Spider-Man by
Insomniac.
Yeah.
I mean, certainly I think Ash is the only person that has a PlayStation 4 here, but I think, you know, if you and I were to invest dollars into a PS4, we also have other titles that we could look at as well, like Horizon, Zero Dawn.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know that
I think there's plenty of catalog there for sure. Like, for me, it's less the amount of games to play, more that I just know I have a very clearly defined ceiling when it comes to how much I actually play. Like, if I get a Switch and a PS4, like, one of those is just going to sit dormant for a very long time and not really do much of anything.
Absolutely.
But that Spider-Man game looks great.
And it looks unbelievable.
Detroit Become Human looks interesting. You know, I mean, I didn't play Heavy Rain. I played the other one, Beyond Two Souls.
Yep. I've played all of those games, and I just enjoy what they are. So that's cool. Another one that I'm cautiously optimistic about is Sea of Thieves. I think there are just a lot of... Well, I mean, I played in the alpha, and I just have a lot of questions surrounding what is going to make me want to play this game for more than 10 hours, you know?
Right. I think so too. Like, there has to be a compelling story rather than just open worldy exploration, right?
Because I think what was available in the alpha would be, you know, what I would consider to be sort of like the inner gameplay loop, where it's like you get a treasure map, you go out and find things, and you know, there's all the stuff that you've seen, you know, in the Gamescom streams and all this other stuff. You can go out and look for that stuff, but I just don't know what's going to happen, you know, in the larger game. Like, what do you do as you're doing this? Why do you continue to go out on your ship and look for other people and look for things? So it'll just be more questions, but I you know, like I said, cautiously optimistic. I also do you have something to add?
No, I was just gonna, I'm agreeing with you. I just think you know what, I don't know if I'm allowed to say what I played in the alpha. I don't think I can. Anyway,
that's why I mentioned that, you know, I think a lot of that stuff was streamed on like, you know, various streams, Gamescom. I think E3 had a stream. So like, we don't have to talk about it, but you can certainly go out and find recordings of this game being played to see what, you know, at least what was available in the short term a long time ago.
Yeah. I'll say that I liked it a lot enough for it to make my list of games that I want to play next year. So, or this year. So,
and then I also see that, apparently, their Night Dive is doing a remake of the original System Shock game.
Yeah.
So, System Shock 2 is probably one of my top 5 games of all time. So, I would be certainly interested to see what they do with this. And, you know, if it, a lot of things have happened since System Shock in that vein, 3 Dead Space titles and numerous BioShock titles. And so, if this game can still fall within the pedigree of, you know, of the games that followed it, I think it'll be a winner. So that's my hope for the System Shock.
Right.
How about you guys?
I mean, there's other stuff. I mean, there's a lot of stuff on this list that I am really intrigued about, like Darksiders 3. I loved the original Darksiders. Didn't love the second one, but I loved the first one. So if it's sort of a, you know, back to basics, I'm going to be enjoying that. There's Dreams, which is Media Molecule. Which I'm very excited to see what it is. Everyone that's played it has said it's just sort of this transcendent, weird experience. And honestly, like, I kind of talked to you guys about this on Slack, but I'm looking for a bit of a new experience gaming. I've played a lot of games over the holidays, and honestly, they've all been like really great. Like, I have no complaints over any of the titles that I played, and I played a lot of the big AAA titles. And if you look at the review scores for all the big AAA stuff this season, everything's getting really well reviewed because the games are fantastic. But I feel very, they're all very samey to me. Like, I kind of feel like I've done it a little bit already.
Sure.
So I'm looking for the next thing that kind of makes me go, this is like a brand new experience, and it's something that I have not done before in a video game in all my years.
Haven't we hit that sort of part of the cycle where everybody knows how to make games for the consoles at this point? So now it's just like, AAA will be insanely polished and should be very good, because it's like we're a few years into making Xbox One and PS4 games.
Yeah, as long as you don't screw up monetizing those games, then you're okay.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like we always hit this point though in every console cycle where it's like middle of the console cycle and the games all start working well and looking great because they've figured out how to tweak every last piece out of the hardware, you know, and like make the games work. But
right, right. And it also helps that you have these buffed console versions, the Pro and the Xbox One X, that can kind of squeeze out a little bit more.
Even the juice I keep saying it, but the S is great, man. I have had no complaints about the Xbox One S. It's the first time I feel like they've put out a mid-cycle, you know, slim variant that actually was better than the original. You know, like, I mean,
Has better hardware in it. Yeah, like, it is legit a better system. Like, you can look at the specs and be like, oh, like, this is actually a lot better.
Not just a better system, but like there's no power brick and all that kind of stuff. You know, like, I think those things coming out have definitely been like, oh, they made it work better. I don't know what I'm trying. You guys get what I'm saying. We'll move
right.
on.
But,
how about Jurassic World Evolution?
I was okay with the first movie.
No, the game.
There's a game? I thought you were talking about the
Fallen films. Fallen Kingdom's the new movie. Evolution is the park sim management game that they're putting out. Have you not seen this?
No.
It looks ridiculous.
A lot of people are really stoked on this. Like, this is making a lot of lists and people are really excited. I don't know. It could be really cool. Like, these building games can be a lot of fun. So if they do a good job with it, it could be great.
Yeah, I don't know how much I'd want to play it. These type of games, I don't tend to couch play a whole lot. Like, they tend to be like iPad type games, but this one is insanely graphic. Like, it's got all high rendered stuff on it. But I don't know, it looks interesting enough to me, and I kind of like usually dive in way too deep on these sim games, so you never know. But I also played the crap, there's a soft spot in my heart for the do you guys remember the like Sega Genesis Jurassic Park game that
you could play as like the raptor and stuff?
God, I played that game so endlessly. Like, it was an insane,
it was so hard. That game was so hard. I don't think I ever made it past like the second level of that game. It was so insanely hard. It was good stuff. Other stuff on here that I'm interested in, I'm actually really interested in Metal Gear Survive. I know there's a lot of controversy because Kojima is not a part of this in any way. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, this Metal Gear Solid Ground Zero's engine with the Fox engine. And then it turns it into a survival game, which I think could be really interesting and really fun. I was a big fan of Metal Gear Solid 5 in general. I didn't like the plot per se, but I thought the mechanics were just off the wall fun, and the multiplayer was actually a lot of fun. So I think if done well, this could be really good. So that's what I'm interested in. I don't know, there's lots of indies that I don't feel like we're touching on, but I know we don't have a ton of time on this episode, so maybe we should, unless you guys think of anything along the way, maybe we should jump over to movies for a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's fair, because the indies sort of surface organically throughout the year as they kind of generate their own buzz, so we'll definitely revisit those throughout the year.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, let's talk about some films. There's some obvious ones, like I already talked about Infinity War, which is...
Yeah, I mean, well, there's Black Panther, Infinity War, and Ant-Man all coming out this year, and they all look insane. Well, Ant-Man we haven't seen really anything from. I actually might be a hair more excited for Black Panther than Infinity War.
Really?
Not like, I'm sure Infinity War will be super fun and just gigantic and bombastic and ridiculous, but Marvel's been doing a really great thing lately by, I think, going back to telling Iron Man 1 style stories with these new hero movies they're putting out. You know what I mean? Like, right. Ant-Man, the first Ant-Man movie had it. Now I'm blanking on the recent ones, but you know what I mean? Like,
their focused stories are really solid. Doctor Strange was good too.
Yeah. Yes. Doctor Strange was a good one. Like, and I feel like Black Panther looks like it's just going to be insane. Like, it looks so good coming out, and I'm excited to see it. So there's something about that kind of like their ability to still tell a really great story, origin story or story in general, that I'm excited about. I know Infinity War will be amazing, but Black Panther, I feel like, is, I don't know, it's just sitting high up on the list for me.
No, I'm right there with you. And I'm curious, Ant-Man comes out right after Infinity War. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious if they're going to, if it's going to where it's going to fall in the timeline, you know, because Black Panther obviously takes place before Infinity War. So is Ant-Man going to take place after it or, you know, in a little side pocket someplace? So I don't know. It's going to be very interesting. Obviously, there is a Han Solo movie coming out this year, another Star Wars film. All right, how excited are you guys about this?
I'm just going to go see it and then and not worry about how I feel about it. You know what I mean? I'm just happy that there's Star Wars.
Yeah, I'm the same. I said it a little bit to Ash before the podcast, but I'm not actually very excited about this movie. I just, it's fine. I'll go see it. You know, like, I'm not going to not see it. So I'll go see it and see what happens.
I mean, there are some really good things. I think the cast so far is pretty great. We have a new John Williams score, brand new score from John Williams, which I think is, you know, that's the real deal. You know, this film had a lot of trouble, with, you know, Ron Howard replacing the director. So it's going to be interesting to see what happened. It didn't seem to work out too well for Justice League when Joss Whedon replaced, Justice League director Zack Snyder. Thank you. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with that. So I'm again cautiously optimistic about Han Solo. I want it to be great.
Yeah. There's a movie called Annihilation coming out, which is based off of a book that I read a few years ago. I think we talked about it on the podcast. Really great book by Alex Vandermeer or Jeff Vandermeer. No. Yes. Jeff Vandermeer is the guy. It's a series of books that kind of follows this weird sci-fi world, and it's directed by the director from Ex Machina, which was one of my favorite movies a couple years ago. It's starring Natalie Portman, and it looks crazy. The book is insane. It's really hard to read. It follows this group of women who are going out into an unknown world to find out what happened to the team that went out before them, essentially. Cool. And it's super crazy, and it's, the book is written journal style, so it'll be interesting to see how they like adapt that to a movie. But looks really good. It's called Annihilation, and if you watch the trailer, you'll be like, I don't know what's happening, because it is very weird.
One of those films, huh?
Yeah,
good stuff. Here's one that you guys don't know that I'm excited about. Mary Poppins Returns.
That's, is this just because of your adaptation that you want to make of Mary Poppins?
Partially because of the adaptation I want to do of Mary Poppins called The Adventures of Marty Poopins, who's a plumber. But mainly because Mary Poppins Returns stars Emily Blunt. Now, I'm a huge Emily Blunt fan. I actually just watched Sicario last night, and holy crap, have you guys seen that yet?
I haven't watched it yet. It's just been sitting in my...
It's on Amazon Prime now. It's free if you have Prime. Fucking fantastic movie. Holy crap.
Very, very good. Yeah.
It is really good. Super dark, crazy dark about, you know, drug lords and stuff, but unbelievably great. Cool. So, I love the Mary Poppins story. I went with my wife and saw it on Broadway. I think Emily Blunt is going to make a great Mary Poppins, and I'm excited for Mary Poppins Returns. I'm going to go on a date with my wife, and we're going to go singing and dancing.
That's cool, man. You do you. I'll give you one more. I'll give you one more Disney one. Incredibles 2. Okay.
Oh,
come on.
No, man, I'm stoked on that. Come on.
Yeah.
That's going to be unbelievable. And it's been, how many years has this been? 15 years almost. It's been a really long time.
Yeah.
Since the original. I mean, it's been a while.
So the original Incredibles came out in 2004, so it's been 14 years. That's amazing.
14, yeah. So I mean, and the fact that the voice cast is coming back and a lot of the original creators are coming back that many years later, and from what I understand, the story takes place like minutes after the end of Incredibles 1. So they're not doing like a big time jump. It's like when the Mole Man attacks the end of Incredibles 1. That's pretty much where Incredibles 2 is.
How do they keep the actors from aging?
I know, right? It's like computers these days, guys.
Here's one that I didn't even know about, but I watched the trailer for when we pulled this list, and it looks awesome. It's called The Death of Stalin, and it's a like kind of, it looks in the vein of, what was the Hitler movie that got made a while ago?
Inglourious Bastards, or the Tom Cruise one? Valkyrie.
Tom Cruise one.
I love this movie too. It's,
you know what I'm talking about?
It's
so basically this takes place right after the death of Stalin. It looks like that's like the opening of the trailer, and it kind of, it's like a comedic fallout from what happens inside of the Kremlin, inside of Russia after that. And it looks kind of amazing and funny, and everybody should probably watch it. But
the Hitler movie is called Downfall.
Yeah, that one's not a comedic take, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It's that kind of inside the curtain kind of thing to see what's going on.
That's good stuff. Behind the curtain. What else, guys? Any others that are popping out? I mean, we're kind of hitting the big ones here. Wreck-It Ralph 2, I'm stoked on that. Deadpool 2.
There's one that's a little bit, it's had a bunch of news out about it, but the Crazy Rich Asians starring Constance Wu from Fresh Off the Boat and a bunch of other Asian actors, directed by, I think, an Asian person, written or based off of a book written by an Asian guy. And it's this kind of crazy first time out Asian led movie that's getting a bunch of press right now.
Awesome. Constance Wu is great. She's
amazing.
Hilarious and fantastic. Yeah. She's really good. Let's see what else. Oh, there's another Wes Anderson movie if folks are still into that gentleman's films, Isle of Dogs, which is sort of an animated film. I think it's stop motion. Is it stop motion? Yeah,
I believe so. Yeah.
I kind of like something happened with me in Wes Anderson films. I think it was Darjeeling Limited, and I was just like, you know what, I've had it.
Yeah.
Scott I've knows which it. One mine is.
I know. Yeah.
I've had it with this quirky crap. And then I became this old curmudgeon and was like, you keep your funny hats to yourself, Mr. Anderson.
I enjoy the parodies of Wes Anderson films more than the films themselves at this point.
Yeah. I mean, some of them are great. Like, I liked Tenenbaums quite a bit. And
I love Tenenbaums. That's the last one I love, though. And then Life Aquatic, I checked out so fast on Life Aquatic that it was just like, I hate this movie.
Some people still love them. New Pacific Rim this year, too. Pacific Rim Uprising.
Two animated movies, Teen Titans Go and the Spider-Man, Spider-Man Spider-Verse, I think.
Yeah, there was a trailer. There was a trailer for that before The Last Jedi. That looked really, really awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Good stuff. Good stuff.
Lots of stuff, man.
Good news is we're going to have a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the sort of the life.
So this podcast will keep going.
We'll keep doing it.
Whew.
Until what happens? I think we're gonna get sucked into a black hole at the end of this. Yeah. At the end of recording this show, you guys want to take a quick break, and we could talk about TV for another 2 hours. But I know we're kind of limited in time, so let's take a quick break and do some reviews.
All right.
Sure.
Maybe we'll do TV next week.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Alex Wilton-Regan, and you're listening to the Rated NA podcast at nerdappropriate.com.
So we're back, and we're going to do some reviews of games that have been out for a little while, but we haven't talked to you guys in a while, so we're going to review them anyway. The first is this game called PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds.
I've never heard of this. Yeah. Could you guys tell me about it?
Yeah.
So I haven't played it still. Guys, I'm still holding out. Haven't played this game.
Well, it's relatively new to Xbox, so we can... I think we're within our bounds to talk about it.
Well, that, and I also think that we're going to give a different perspective than what people are used to hearing about this game. So I think we're going to kind of dig into the nuts and bolts a little bit and talk about maybe a little bit about the psychology of why this game is performing as well as it is. So I guess I'll start off by saying I've been playing on PC. Scott's been playing on Xbox One. Haven't played a ton, but... it was on sale, I think, over winter, and I just decided, you know what, I'm going to try this and see what all the hype is about after watching it on Twitch quite a bit. And I do have to say, the game is super fun. Like, it's very different. Like I told the guys over Slack, it kind of forces you to use your brain in a different way when playing a shooter. It's more about figuring out ways to survive rather than simply hunting down people, because you only have one life. You die very, very quickly. So there's a lot of tension. It makes you sweat a bit. I find myself playing with my headphones turned up very, very loudly and using sound more than I ever have in games in the past. So things like opening doors and the sound of a car driving down the road or gunshots in the distance, those are huge tells for what's going on in the game world around you, sort of like they would be in reality. So I think one of the best praise I can give this game is the sound design, I think, is really solid in terms of, you know, locational placement of the sound in relation to your characters and using that to kind of guide what you do. I think that's really, really well done. What about your first takeaway, Scott?
I think, again, this is one of those games that is a different experience when you play it with other people or friends, you know, in a squad or two man or four man or whatever. And I think a lot of the, in my opinion, a lot of the fun of this game comes from not necessarily the game itself, but the stories that you create within the game seem to be what is more interesting than who won a round or, you know, how many people you killed. And I think that's kind of what makes the game interesting, is just sort of the randomness of the game combined with sort of the erratic behavior of human beings creates just kind of a playground for a lot of interesting video clips and stories to occur. And I think that's kind of what drives the appeal of this game, because I mean, certainly you could go play a lot of other shooters, but not with these rules. And certainly you can go play a lot of other kind of open world games, but it's not this kind of game. So,
right. I mean, yeah. And the pacing's very strange, because it seems like on paper, like it would be boring as hell, because you may go some rounds without ever firing your weapon. Or if you do fire your weapon, you may only use like one or two magazines the entire time that you play, unless you're just incredibly great. Right.
Yeah.
Just because it doesn't take a lot of, you know, too many bullets to kill a person, and gunfights are very, very quick and kind of insane. So most of the time in the game, you're crawling around or, you know, scavenging goodies, and you're not really, you know, going out hunting people. So it's different. I mean, that's what I think is so appealing about it, is like I said earlier in the show, I'm kind of craving like new types of experiences. Like, we've all played countless corridor shooters, and at this point, many, many open world shooters, and at this point, many, many hero shooters. But this is different, because a lot of the time you are just you're on the edge of your seat, kind of waiting for something to happen, whether waiting for someone to run by or waiting to hear a sound. So it's sort of like, in a lot of ways, it's more of a survival horror game than it is a shooter.
I would agree. And I, you know, I was telling you guys, I hid in a bathroom for 5 actual minutes, not doing anything, like not moving, just waiting for someone to come into the house and open the door so that I could, you know, kill them and take their stuff. Like, that's insane behavior for a video game. You know, in most games, if you were doing nothing for 5 minutes, you would quickly become bored or frustrated or move on to something else, you know?
Right.
But I'm like sitting there, my hands are sweating, and you wait for that moment where, like you said, you were talking about the audio in the game, you hear the vehicle pull up outside, and then you hear somebody opening the doors downstairs, and then you hear their footsteps as they come upstairs and they start checking doors, and you're waiting for them to open your door. Yeah, you know it's coming. There's going to be a standoff, and you don't know if it's one person or 4 people. And you know, at that point you make your move, right? And that's kind of where the game lights up, is that at a certain point the conflict erupts, and you know, that very rarely do both, you know, parties escape unscathed, right? Like, someone usually is exited from the game at that point, and then you move on. And that's kind of, I don't know, that's interesting and appealing.
So let's say your name is Matt, though.
Yes.
And you die a lot in video games, like constantly. Like, you're not as good as everybody else at playing video games.
Right.
Is this going to be just a, like, obnoxious, you know, what's the way to put it? Like, am I just going to be annoyed because the moment anything happens, I basically get outmatched in video game skills and killed immediately move on with life?
Somebody's, and not just yours, but people's enjoyment with this game, I really think depends on your own, like, approach to what you want out of this game. Like, if you go into this game and you think, I'm going to get first place every time, then you're going to be disappointed. If you hop into the game and you think, well, I'm going to give it a shot, maybe I'll kill somebody, probably get killed shortly after that, and then, you know, play another round, that's cool. You could kind of ignore the rules entirely and just say, I'm going to find a vehicle, drive it around and see if I can run people over and just goof around, right? I've heard of people, I think Ash was saying that, you know, you can get into a game and say, like, I'm only going to try to kill people with the frying pan, and, you know, just go all melee, which is insane, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the map is large enough where I think you could even take an approach by saying, you know what, I just want to kind of explore this map. And, you know, as the round progresses, you are funneled into a central location, you know, sort of like Hunger Games, where like the game kind of tightens the radius of the combat so that you can't just hide like on an island and then come in at the last second. It's really like what you want out of the game is kind of dictates what your experience will be. There are, you know, certainly everybody online will is a better shot than me, you know, like I've never won like a straight up gunfight where I didn't get the drop on somebody, you know, if it's just me and the other
person.
Yeah, but
like you're a better shot than me. Do you know what I mean? Like, I guess what I'm saying is if my experience is going to be, and I'm maybe playing devil's advocate, but if my experience is going to be me hiding in a bathroom for 15 minutes and then dying, like, I don't know that does not sound enticing even in the slightest.
Well, I mean, so I think you're maybe your best bet with a game like this is to play like with other people, right? Because when you're in a squad, then that's where there's more shenanigans, right? One person's driving, the other person's looking around, you know, two people are fighting, and you know, when it's two on two, it's a little different than one on one, and you can kind of, I don't know, like like, you know, like you were saying, I've never won a even firefight with another player in PUBG. Like, I win firefights by surprising people, or
You got to get the drop on them. I'm the same way. Like, there's no way everyone is much faster than me, but like we were saying on Slack earlier, like, we're older and smarter. Like, we know where to hide and how to hide and how to move and how players react. So if, you know, if you position yourself well, like behind a rock or in some tall grass or something like that, you can very easily get the drop on other players and do some damage. But, it's definitely fun. Like, and I can understand why, the formula itself is going crazy. Like, they just announced at the High Res convention that they're doing up in Atlanta that the Paladins is getting a new 100 player sort of death match mode called Battlegrounds as well. And of course,
this is here to stay for a while.
And I think we're going to be seeing a lot of it for the next few years. And you know what? I kind of welcome it. If this is the granddaddy of it and it's a new mode, and eventually in a couple of years we get like the best version of this, I think it could be really fantastic. So,
I mentioned to you. Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say the game itself is in some places a little sloppy, right? Like the character movements, you know, I watch the characters move. You know, Ash talks a lot about the feel of guns. I'm really kind of sensitive to the feel of character movement, especially after playing a game like Assassin's Creed and, you know, other Ubisoft titles where they've kind of mastered the fluidity of character movement. And I play a game like this, and it just feels like a step back in terms of getting somebody to run or mantle over cover. And you're just like, oh, my gosh, this is painful, right?
Yeah.
And so I definitely think other developers will innovate on this formula in different places. And they're certainly, you know, this company is certainly getting a lot of the attention because they were the first to the game, but it's, you know, they need to continue. Otherwise they won't be the best. Right. But this is currently where people are. But I think, I was talking to somebody at work the other day and I was like, I would love to see a game like this, but more in the style of like For Honor, where it's just kind of like a melee combat or something like Assassin's Creed, where stealth is more important and being able to hide, you know, like Metal Gear style inside of a box. And then someone comes by and you fight them or something. So, there's a lot of different ways to go with this.
Yeah, I know. I agree. And I think one of the things, again, that we talked about online, because we haven't had a chance to record in so long, but I was saying like, the fact that you can get 100 players on a server and have a functioning shooter, and one that at least works well enough that you don't notice any sort of like bullet drops or any sort of lag or anything like that.
Right.
I think we're at this point where we can support 100 players in a map, all doing different things to each other. That's not an MMO, you know, that's not like roll of the dice kind of combat. I think it's pretty awesome.
So I guess, Matt, to go back to your question, I think if you were going to play this game, I would definitely recommend playing with other people first. So,
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then it doesn't feel like, so the stakes are not as high, right? Like you can screw around with one of us in, you know, on the map and we can just learn the ropes and, you know, we'll probably get killed like halfway through the round, but like, that's okay. Right. You just move on to the next one. 'Cause you don't have to stay to the end. Once you're dead, you just drop out and get into the next match and move on. So
yeah,
that's it. I mean, it's like a very simple, the rules are like so simple to the game itself is just so simple in what you're trying to do, that it's really like, it's up to you to decide how you want to approach the game and then, you know, hopefully get a good experience out of it in the end.
Yeah. Cool.
You want to talk about Destiny 2 you're playing on PC, Ash.
Yeah, that's why it came out much later than it did on consoles on PC. I was like one of those idiots that was like, I saw that it was coming out on PC and didn't realize it was coming out at a later date. So when all the Destiny 2 hype was happening, I'm like, I'll just get it on PC. I had to wait a really long time to play it. So I'll just say that I played probably, I don't know, maybe 5 to 10 hours of it so far. The campaign's actually really enjoyable. I just want to talk about how, this game is stunning. Like, absolutely. I don't have an amazing graphics card, but right now on my PC, I have a GTX 970. It's running at 60 frames per second on max with no sort of lag, stutter, or anything like that. It looks unbelievably gorgeous. And we were talking about weapon feel with PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds. But the weapon feel in Destiny 2 is unbelievably fantastic. They have Bungie have this absolutely mastered. I love shooting the guns in this game. It is very much Destiny 1. So if you've played Destiny 1 at all and you're wanting something brand new and interesting, you're probably not going to get it in Destiny 2, at least at the stage that I'm at. Mm-hmm. But some of the campaign has actually really been, I think, some of the best stuff Bungie's ever done. So there's a lot of very linear kind of dungeon crawly stuff going on in the campaign that was just so much fun to run through and shoot. I mean, honestly, some of the stuff felt like, you know, old Halo 2 kind of stuff.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, I really was enjoying it just from, you know, the perspective of like, oh, this is like just great, you know, craftsmanship by Bungie. You know, there's still a lot of I just wish, like I'm, like I said, an old curmudgeon when it comes to stuff like this. I wish I could turn other players off. Like, I don't want to see them in my city. I don't want to see them run. I don't want to see them running around the open world map. I just don't want to see them and their stupid ass names in my game. Like, you know, the shared world shooter is a great idea, but you have to kind of want to do that. Like, I kind of wanted to experience the Destiny 2 campaign without running into other players in hubs and things like that. So I get it, like, and I'm probably in the minority in my feelings about this, but that being said, if you have a PC that can run Destiny 2 and you're looking for a really fun, you know, shooting experience, science fiction stuff, check it out. It's running on Battle.net too, which is another reason why I picked it up, because oh, cool. Battle.net's awesome. So you know, Blizzard did their partnership with Activision. So, you know, you can run it right through Battle.net, and it looks great, runs great, patches quickly. From a UI perspective, very quickly, this game is like absolutely gorgeous in the way that it's displayed. So, you know, the way that all the menus work and just everything is just beautifully crafted. Mm-hmm. Will I continue on and play through to get raids and stuff like that? No, I don't even know if I'll finish the campaign, but I do, you know, I did enjoy what I played. So awesome. Just wanted to say, yeah.
This too, much like PlayerUnknown, is a little bit of an older review, but I picked up this book recently on sale in Kindle. And since we don't ever talk about books, but it sits in the wheelhouse that we have, I thought I'd bring it up. Mm-hmm. There's a book called Dark Matter by an author named Blake Crouch. And you may know his name because he wrote the trilogy of books for Wayward Pines, which the TV show on, I think, Fox was based on. So Dark Matter is a sci-fi thriller about a quantum physicist who gets kidnapped in the opening of the book. And then it kind of just escalates there. And the theory that this book is written around in sort of a pop sci-fi manner is the string theory, like multiverse. So I'm trying to figure out how to talk about this without giving away too much. Essentially, he gets kidnapped, taken to what would be considered a different multiverse, and then shit just kind of explodes and continues to escalate. The reason I wanted to talk about it is because every moment that I thought I knew where this book was going, I was wrong. Like, something twisted in it and something would just happen and you'd kind of go along with it and it'd be a whole new kind of moment of anticipation and anxiety as you're moving through this book. It is crazy high paced, like super fast. It's an easy read. It's probably only about, I don't know, 200, 250 pages maybe. It's hard because when you have the Kindle,
yeah, yeah,
zero idea how many pages this book is. It's 100%. It took me maybe 3 days to read total. Like, it's a really quick, you know, few hours of reading kind of book, but it is really, 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 really good. And I highly, highly recommend it. And I don't want to give away too much, but the book is called Dark Matter, and it basically is a pop sci-fi read on the string theory multiverse, and it just it just keeps getting more and more anxious and keeps changing and going weird, and it's just such a great setting. So
do you know, you probably wouldn't know this off the top of your head, but it's something we can look up. Do you know who reads the audiobook version of this?
I do not know who reads the audiobook version, but I can see it being very good.
Okay. Yeah. Honestly, that's the way I've been consuming a lot of stuff lately. It's just, by listening to it, just because it's easier for me, because I fall asleep instantly when I read right now.
John Lindstrom is the reader of the book.
I do not know him, but I'm sure he's good.
Yeah, it's. I could see that being a super. Oh, it's 10 hours of audiobook, so I could see that being a really great audiobook, because it's such like a great narrative fiction. You do the whole thing from Jason Dessen is the main character. It's all from his perspective, so you're kind of like finding this world out along with him, because he's not the creator of what's going on in the book. He's like by happenstance being taken along through it. So it is. Yeah, so go check it out, Dark Matter by Blake Crouch. I picked it up for like a buck on a Kindle sale, but you know, grab the audiobook or grab the paperback or whatever you want to read it as.
Do we still have audibletrial.com/ratedNA?
Yeah. We do. Yep. We still have it.
So you can get it for free if you try a month of Audible.
Dark Matter. Yeah.
And help out the show.
That's right.
Very quickly, I just kind of wanted to talk about Bright on Netflix, because there was a lot of chatter on the internet about this. Yeah, a little bit of controversy. I'll start off by saying I enjoyed the film. It is by no means flawless. It is, it's an interesting, if you don't know the general premise, it's a buddy cop drama with a human and an orc set in modern day Los Angeles in an alternate reality where 2,000 years ago, there was a war between, all the fantasy races, and a Dark Lord was kind of put to rest, but all the fantasy races still exist in modern society. So there's elves and there's dwarves and there's dragons and there's orcs, but they live in the modern world, which is very, very much like our world today, with, elves being an upper tier society, and orcs sort of, unfortunately being kind of crapped on in society. And there's a lot of, sort of social and political messages attached to this film as well that I'm not going to get into, but I will say that David Ayer, I think, is a good director. He's done a lot of like okay films and some really fantastic films. So if you watch Suicide Squad, I would say that's one of his okay films. But if you've seen a movie like Fury, I think it's great, and I think he has a lot of potential to be just a fantastic director. And there are some scenes in Bright that I think are just really well shot and really well done. Will Smith is the main character, and he has an orc partner, and it's very similar to a film like Lethal Weapon, where you have Will Smith like not really getting along with his new partner, and this is the first orc that's ever been on the police force, because normally they're kind of they're normally stuck doing like manual labor or jobs that are like less than desirable, and so this is the first orc to ever become a cop. I think where a lot of people were complaining about this, because some of the dialogue is really, really cheesy, really, really campy. It has some really fantastic gunfights, I'm not gonna lie. They're very well done, very well shot. There's some crazy like Matrix level kung fu shit in here that I think is really great. when you're dealing with like ninja elves and like, gangster orcs, it's weird. And different, but I think it's like, and the thing that bothered me is basically Netflix is so cheap for how much you get out of it that the movie is more or less free. It's a feature film that would cost you, $12 to $20 to see in the theater, and it's more or less free on Netflix right now. I think the budget was over $90 million for this film for Netflix to make. So you're getting a $90 million action film that is a solid action film for pretty much free. And then people were complaining like crazy about it on the web for one reason or another. Mm-hmm. You have to kind of know what you're getting into. Like, you're getting into a fantasy buddy cop film with a human and an orc fighting against elves in a fictitious Los Angeles. If you go in thinking you're going to get like high drama or some Oscar worthy movie, you're probably going to be disappointed. But I enjoyed Bright. I'm glad there's going to be a sequel to Bright. I'm interested in the world of Bright. Is the movie perfect? No. Did I stop the movie halfway through one night and then really, really want to finish the next night? Absolutely. So, yes. So check it out. It's on Netflix now if you haven't seen it already. Let me know on social media what you think of it. Most of the people on social media that I talked to about it seem to have liked it. So it's interesting.
Cool. Good recommendations, guys.
Yes. Yes. Let's very quickly jump to what some of our listeners are looking forward to in 2018. We'll start with Justin Banks, who's Sir Kingsman on Twitter. And he says he's looking forward to Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kristen at Kristen Carnage says, I'm hyped for new WoW stuff that I think is coming late this year. Vanilla servers.
My gosh. I played so much vanilla WoW that I have vanilla WoW completely memorized to this day. And that was in 2004.
What is vanilla WoW?
It's the first year that it was out without any expansion. So Blizzard finally is like, you know, we'll reopen some servers that were just sort of like the OG, no expansion stuff.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. Ness at the Saros.
Yeah.
I don't know that I've ever read her name.
She had a new name. Yeah.
New handle.
Life event-wise, I start my field experience in a school library next week and should graduate with my MSLS in December. Congratulations. That's awesome.
Congratulations.
I'm also pumped for a ton of awesome books from V.E. Schwab, Rin Chupico. Oh, boy, you're killing me here.
I'm glad you got this one, man.
Needy Okorafor, Catherine Valenti, and, of course, Patrick Weeks. Yeah, Patrick's new book is out this year.
Good job.
I'm excited about it. I love the description. It looks really good.
Josh Silverman, Bear Punch, says, in that order, Sea of Thieves, Infinity War, Birth of Second Son. Last two things are actually anticipated on the same day. I told him on Twitter, this is a true story. My wife and I went and saw Civil War while she was technically in labor.
Yeah.
Wow.
I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's see. Andrew Baker at ABakerN7 says, I can't wait for Black Panther, a solo Star Wars story, Infinity War movies. I'm not as tuned into games, but if Anthem isn't going to be super time intensive, I'll be all over it. I agree.
Yeah.
I hate to tell you, buddy, but Anthem's going to be super time intensive.
Yeah. Yeah. But you should try it anyways, and you will.
You should still try it anyways.
And we'll be there.
And then
yeah.
Some guy named Ash says Marvel Strike Force, Infinity War,
these are my notes for myself.
Yeah.
I'm just joking.
Yeah.
But yeah, oh yeah, I do have to say Marvel Strike Force, I told these guys this. Turn-based, hero collecting, action game. Super excited about it. Looks great.
Ash, just real quick, Scott, Ash was doing that test stream yesterday and I jumped on it and he was playing Star Wars
Galaxy of Heroes.
Yep. And I just wrote, break the chain, Ash.
Yeah. Keep the dream alive.
The sad thing about that is I'm in this guild and I'm like the worst person in the guild. Everyone is so much.
Oh my God.
I'm like level 83 with like 27 star heroes. And there's people that are just infinitely better than me. But anyway, we'll be back next week with an all new show. That's the mission, guys.
Yep.
You can find us on social media. That's at Nerd Appropriate. You can go to our Facebook page, which is /Nerd Appropriate. We have Instagram, Nerd Appropriate as well. We do turn on Twitch TV on occasion, which is Twitch.tv/Nerd Appropriate and Mixer Rated NA. Is that our Mixer, Scott?
We're a team. It's a team name. So if you look for teams, our team name is Rated NA. You have Nerd Appropriate. And then we just have our Twitter handles as well as our Mixer handles.
Yeah, very good. But thank you guys so much for your patience, and we'll keep making shows if you keep listening, and you guys have an awesome week.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
Are you recording?
I am. I'm recording. Everything is working.
Oh my gosh.
Yep.
Should I backup record or no?
No, you don't have to. Like, it's all hardware, if you will.
Going straight to tape.
Yeah, straight to tape.
Ash was going to say he's excited that we're actually recording a full podcast right now.
Yep.
I'm pretty excited. I'm more excited that I can do this with you guys.
Yeah.